Good morning. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 12. And while you're turning there, just let me say thank you to Dr. Anderson for his invitation to be here with you today. I understand he's on the road traveling, and we just want to pray for his safety as he travels, but I do want to thank him for inviting me to be with you this morning. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about serving with the right attitude. You know, as we prepare for service, and that is what you are doing here at Appalachian Bible College, you are preparing for a lifetime of service. And I noticed several weeks ago, your theme is servants of all. And we think the idea of serving, it's a great thing. There is no greater privilege that you or I have as believers than to serve the Lord. The important thing that we keep in mind, though, is that we are indeed servants. A servant does the will of his master. A servant is a tool or an instrument that the master uses to accomplish what he wants done. Now, I know in a year when your theme is service, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 have probably been preached on at least once, if not multiple times. I don't want us to stop at chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 this morning, though. Because I think verse 3 holds a key for us if we are going to serve with the right attitude and if we are going to serve in the right way. Because in Romans 12, verse 3, notice again what it says. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let's pray this morning. Father, we come to you this morning just asking that you would bless the reading of your word. Lord, I thank you and I praise you that the promise of Scripture is that your word will not return void. And I pray as we take some time this morning to set aside and to look into your word that you would just open our hearts and our minds to what you would have to say to us. Lord, just speak to our hearts and minds. Show us how we need to serve you. Lord, what our attitudes need to be toward our service. And Lord, let's even show us maybe some areas where our attitude needs to be adjusted. Lord, again, I just thank you for this time that we have to be together. Speak to us now through your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to begin this morning by telling you that serving with the right attitude means having a proper perspective of yourself. Did you notice what verse 3 said there? It said to think of yourself soberly. It means have a proper perspective of who you are. We can't think too highly of ourselves. We can't think too lowly of ourselves. We have to have a proper perspective and a proper attitude toward who we are if we are going to serve the Lord properly. Let me tell you this morning. Your attitude in serving will affect your effectiveness in serving. Your attitude in serving will determine your effectiveness in service to the Lord. And the reason I say that is this, because everyone in the church in which you minister is on a different place in their life, spiritually speaking. Those of you who attend DMBC, you know you've heard me talk about the spiritual maturity ladder. And every individual, every Christian in the local church is at a different rung on that spiritual maturity ladder. They may have been saved for a few days. They may have been saved for 30 years. And everyone is on a different rung on that ladder, which makes service a challenge, doesn't it? Trying to meet the needs of all of those individuals is a difficult and it's a challenging thing. And sometimes it gets frustrating. It's just us here today. So I'm going to be honest with you. There are Tates in your church. The Tate family can drive you absolutely bonkers. Let me tell you about the Tate family this morning. You see, there's old man Dick Tate. He wants to run everything in the church. Uncle Rotate wants to change everything. Sister Agitate stirs everything up. With help from her husband, Irritate. Whenever new projects are suggested, Hesitate and his wife, Vegetate, want to wait till next year. Devastate provides the voice of doom, while Potentate wants to be the big shot. But not all members of the Tate family are bad. brother facilitate is quite helpful in church matters. A delightful, happy member of the family is Miss Philistate, and cousin cogitate and meditate help in thinking things through. Of course, there's also the black sheep of the family. That's amputate, who's cut himself off from the family. Let me tell you something. You have every one of those Tates in your church. Whether it's your local church that you attend here while you're at college, whether it's your church back home, every church in America, every church across the world has the Tate family. And it makes service a challenge. When you run into Sister Irritate, it gets tough, it gets frustrating, and it can affect your attitude. You see, you have to have a proper perspective on what your role is as a servant of the Lord. Let me tell you, there's times where you want to just shake some of these people and say, "Don't you know better?" And in some cases, they may know better, and they're just ignoring what God's Word says. In some cases, they don't know better. They haven't developed spiritually enough yet to understand some of these things. And if you are going to serve them, if you are going to meet their needs, you have to have a proper perspective on yourself and what your role is in ministering to them. You know, our attitudes do affect our service. Our attitudes affect our churches. And the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 12, he gives us a stark challenge and a command to think properly of ourselves. He says to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul knew what it was to deal with difficult people, didn't he? Paul understood what it meant to serve, and he understood what it meant to serve with the right attitude. You know, as we think about serving with the right attitude, it not only means having a correct perspective of yourself, it means several other things as well. And I want to take you to a portion of Scripture this morning. In fact, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we find the Apostle Paul in the midst of trying to correct some things. Now, before we read the verses in 1 Corinthians 8, let's do a quick review of the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a mess. It had multiple Tate families in the church. There were all kinds of issues. There were strifes. There was divisions. There was immorality. There was lawsuits. There was issues of marriage and celibacy. There was all kinds of things going on all at the same time. And the Apostle Paul is trying to minister to these individuals. Not only is he trying to minister to them, he's trying to minister to them with the right and the proper attitude. Paul gives the Corinthians some principles and some guidelines in 1 Corinthians 8 on what their attitude needs to be and what their approach to service needs to be. Look at chapter 8. Verse 1, it says, "Now touching the things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him." You see, serving with the right attitude also means balancing knowledge and love. It means balancing the knowledge of Scripture that you have and the love that you show toward those that you are ministering to. Knowledge is a great thing. We cannot possibly know enough about God's Word. It should be a never-ending desire that you have to study God's Word and to know it better. But with knowledge comes a danger, doesn't there? And the Apostle Paul mentions that danger in these first three verses. He says, knowledge does what? It puffs up. You see, when you attain knowledge, it's great. But it also has a way of skewing your perspective of yourself. Not only have we maintain that proper perspective, we have to balance the knowledge that we have with love. That phrase there, knowledge puffeth up, it means to blow up or to inflate. Listen to what one commentator said about this verse. He said, when spiritual knowledge is used in love, the stronger Christian can take the hand of the weaker Christian and help him to stand and walk so as to enjoy the freedom in Christ. You cannot force feed immature believers and transform them into spiritual giants. Knowledge must be mixed with love, otherwise the saints will end up with big heads instead of enlarged hearts. One famous preacher used to say, some Christians grow, others just swell. Think about it for a moment. The illustration of the Tate family, yes, it's humorous. But let me tell you, it's real. Because when you go into the local church and you begin ministering to people, you're going to run into deacons, you're going to run into Sunday school teachers, you're going to run into all kinds of workers in the church who have been there for years, and you find out that they're spiritually immature. And you want to shake them and say, don't you know better? But as a servant of Christ, you need to balance the knowledge that you have of Scripture with love for that individual and help them to grow in their relationship with the Lord. If you come into a situation where you find someone who doesn't know some portion of Scripture which you think they ought to know and be living, and you begin to thump them over the head with it, you're going to discourage them, and ultimately you can hurt their spiritual walk with the Lord. And what the Apostle Paul here is saying is, knowledge is great, yes. But what does he go on to say there in verse 1? But charity edifieth. Love builds up. That's what charity edifieth means. You see, your job as a Christian servant, your job as a minister of Jesus Christ and as a servant of Jesus Christ is to edify others. To build them up in their relationship with the Lord. That is your objective. That is the mission that God has given you as His child. And you have to use the knowledge that you have of His Word to accomplish that. But you have to do it in love. I think it's interesting what Paul says there in verse 2, because verse 2 tells me that there were Tates in the church. All right? Verse 2 says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as yet he ought to know. In other words, verse 2 is describing those in Corinth that had the large head. Their heads had swollen. They thought they knew everything. They thought they had an answer for every circumstance and every situation. And basically what Paul tells them is, guys, you don't know squat. You don't know anything. Because if you knew anything, you would be ministering to these others in love, trying to build them up and to edify them in their walk with the Lord. You know, it's a challenge. It's not easy. It's something that you will battle throughout your life here on this earth. There are many students here today, and all of you are preparing for various types of service, various types of ministry. And you may be a full-time Christian worker in missions or in a local church, or you may just be a layperson teaching Sunday school or ministering in Awana or some other ministry. But no matter where you find yourself ministering, you're going to find yourself in circumstances where your attitude is challenged. And where you're going to just shake your head and say, man, these people should be a lot farther along in their relationship with the Lord. But they're not. You can't change the past. You can't change where they've been or what they've come through. Your job and your responsibility is to help them grow closer to the Lord now. Wherever they find themselves. You see, balancing or serving with the right attitude means balancing the knowledge you have with love. Not only does it mean balancing knowledge with love, but serving with the right attitude also means that you understand the reality of the situation. I'm not going to take time this morning to read the verses, but verses 4 through 6 there in chapter 8, Paul deals with the issue of meat that has been offered to idols. And that's really what the whole chapter is about. The whole issue in chapter 8 is that there were some Christians who were eating meat that had been offered to idols, and that was bothering other Christians, and there was a whole big fight and brouhaha over whether it was right or wrong to eat meat that had been offered to idols. Well, in verses 4 through 6, Paul gives us the reality of the situation. He says, basically, idols are nothing. It's a piece of wood. Now, the strong, mature believer understands that. The young, immature believer did not. And he's saying, basically, you understand this. We know, okay? We know an idol is nothing. In fact, if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, he refers to them as dumb idols. All right, so you get the point here. Idols aren't anything. But that's the issue that he's trying to deal with here, is the meat that had been offered to idols. And Paul knows that the stronger Christians see this clearly and they understand it. But the younger Christians didn't. I want to move quickly into verses 7 through 9 because serving with the right attitude also means looking out for the weaker Christian. Look at verse 7. It says, "Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Serving with the right attitude means looking out for the weaker Christian. I mentioned it before, but every believer, spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding is different. No two people are exactly alike. Praise God, right? My wife praises God. There's not two of me, okay? She couldn't take two of me. Everybody's different. Everybody learns differently. Everybody's spiritual knowledge progresses at a different rate. And as mature believers, let me tell you something this morning. And I don't want you to get a puffed up or a big head about this, but when you leave Appalachian Bible College and you go out into service in the local church, you will probably be more spiritually mature than some of the church members that have been there for years. You see, there are Christians who go to church week after week after week who, that's the only spiritual intake they get. They don't pick their Bibles up the rest of the week. They don't feed off of God's Word. And spiritual maturity has nothing to do with your physical age. Paul tells Timothy that in 1 Timothy. Don't let your youth be despised. You will probably be spiritually farther along than some of the people that you end up ministering to and that you end up serving alongside in the local church, wherever that may be. And because everyone's knowledge level is not the same, that challenges our attitude. That challenges our perspective on ourselves and our perspective on them. Let me suggest this to you. The issue of eating meat or not eating meat in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is not really the issue. It's the example that Paul is using of how believers are to treat one another. Of how we are to relate to one another as God's children. And he says there in verse 9 that your liberty should not be a stumbling block to a younger Christian. If there's anything in Christianity today, I believe that this is probably one of the areas that believers have the hardest time with. I think there's more stumbling blocks out there than what we realize. And there's far more stumbling blocks out there than there should be. And it's because people aren't serving with the right attitude. You see, if you're serving with the right attitude, that means that you're going to be looking out and you are going to be concerned about your younger believers, your more immature Christians. And you won't want to do anything that hinders their spiritual growth. Just on a personal note, that's probably one of the biggest concerns I have as a pastor. I in no way want myself or my ministry to be a stumbling block to anybody else. And that needs to be said of all of us. We need to be cognizant of that. We need to be thinking about, is what I'm going to do now, is it technically okay? Or is it going to hurt somebody else? If we're concerned about ourselves, if we can support it biblically, we're going to go out and do it with no thought of the impact that it might have on another believer. That's what was taking place in Corinth. They weren't concerned about their fellow believer. They were just worried about eating. Now, I know we're Baptists, and, you know, that's one of the things we Baptists like to do. We like to eat, all right? And we do it well. But when it becomes a greater concern than a spiritual condition of somebody, our priorities are messed up. Our thought process is messed up. And we need to refocus and get an attitude adjustment about what's really important. Paul says, the meat's not the issue here, folks. Be concerned about people's lives. And it's not just their life here on this earth. It's their life for all eternity. Be concerned about that. Look out for your weaker brother. There's one final thing I want to share with you this morning about serving with the proper attitude. And serving with the proper attitude means doing what will help your fellow Christian grow spiritually. Come down to verse 10. It says, "For if any man see that which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through the knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and would wound their conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Be careful how you exercise your Christian liberty. Be careful how you exercise the freedom that we have in Christ. That's the challenge from Paul here. And we have a responsibility and we have a duty to help others grow spiritually, to grow in their walk with the Lord. Probably one of the verses that stands out to me the most in this whole chapter is verses 11 and 12. "And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died." Boy, that would hit some Christians right between the eyeballs. You have no concern for this individual that you were hurting, and that very individual is who Christ went to the cross for. Wow. That ought to make you change your outlook and your perspective on others too. Then he goes down into verse 12 and says, "But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience," here comes the hard part, ouch, "ye sin against Christ." We don't like to take it that far, do we? We say, "But I've got Christian liberty. I've got freedom. Scripture says so right here." And we stop. And Paul says, no, you can't stop there. If what you are doing is hurting the spiritual life of a fellow believer, it's sin. Serving with the wrong attitude is sin. Serving with an incorrect perspective of yourself and those that you are ministering to is sin. And it needs to be dealt with. While you're here at Appalachian Bible College, service in many respects is easy. You're surrounded by good teaching. You have it every single day. You're surrounded by those who are desiring to know about more about God and His Word. And you're growing together. So in some respects, service is easy while you're here at school. But when you get out into the local church, not everybody has that same drive. Not everybody has that same desire. And if we run into those people with the wrong attitude and we try to minister to them, not only are we hurting them spiritually, we in fact are sinning and we aren't being effective in our service to the Lord. Let me close with this. Serving with the right attitude is not always easy, but it's essential. Serving with the right attitude is not always easy, but it's essential. All your knowledge, all your education will be for naught if you don't use it to serve the Lord with the right attitude in the way He tells us to serve. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. And in the quietness of these moments, I want you to do this. I want you to do an attitude check. I want you to ask the Lord to challenge you and to show you how your attitude has been. Have you been looking out for your fellow brother or sister in Christ? Have you been doing what will help them to grow spiritually? Or have you been more concerned about yourself? Just ask the Lord to show you where you're at and where He wants you to go. And then ask Him for the strength, His strength, His power to make those changes in your life and your attitude. Father, we thank You for this time that we've had together this morning. Lord, I pray that the words that You have given me were clear and understandable, and Lord, will be something that we can not just let go in one ear and out the other, Lord, but will be something that we can take and that we can use and that we can apply each and every day of our lives. Lord, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice right now, Lord, that You would just take us and use us for Your honor, for Your glory. May we be Your servants who accomplish what You want done in the way that You want it done. And Lord, we'll just be careful to thank You and praise You for all that You've done, all that You're doing, and all that You're going to do. And we ask all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.